took me a little bit to shove everything underneath here. I'm ready. Hey, just want you to know, Pastor Sherry and I love you. There isn't a day we don't walk into this building that we are not honored that we get to be your pastors and to encourage you and pour into you. So just want to tell you every once in a while, we love you. Jeez, praise God. And how many of you are expecting to hear something from God today? Because I know that I've heard something from God today that I'm going to toss out at you. Before we start in prayer, have you ever, every once in a while I turn on the radio when I'm driving, turn off the phone, turn on the radio, and they'll say, oh, it's National Waffle Day. Everybody go out and eat waffles. Or it's National Ice Cream Day. Everybody go and eat ice cream. And it was brought to my attention by Deb that today is actually called the Sanctity of Life Day. So what the heck does that mean? Life is precious. Life is really precious. And the Lord says it's sanctified. It is sacred. I like that word better. Life is sacred. And if you've ever miscarried, life is precious. If you've ever buried somebody before their time, life is precious. So what is Sanctity of Life Day? It's a day to pray. You know, if it's National Ice Cream Day, we go out for ice cream. This is Sanctity of Life Day. So I would ask you to pray, not just today, but every day about life. And aside from prayer, you should say, Lord, what is my responsibility? And, you know, we pray a lot of times, Lord, you changed the laws for about abortion. God is not. He is dumping it on our lap. And, yes, we pray. But what is my responsibility? What is my responsibility? Well, I'm not a lawyer. I kind of cheated to get through college, I'll tell you. It was really hard. So that may not be what I do, but there's Human Life Services. Oh, where's my thing on that? All right, I have piles of paper here. A good friend of ours, Laura Abel, heads it up in York County. And they're always looking for people to come in and just share the word of God, to disciple, to encourage there. There's many places you can get in. And remember that life is precious. It is sacred. Everything from sex trafficking. There's some great organizations that are involved in that. And one of their big needs is after they rescue these girls and kids out of these horrible, horrible situations, they need homes for them. They need people to sponsor them. So you can be praying about that. God, what is my responsibility? You can sow into that. So let's pray. Today is, we're not going for ice cream, but we are going to pray. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you breathe life into Adam, and then you created Eve, and then this is people that you love on this planet. And Father, you love life. It is so sacred to you that it is heart-wrenching when somebody takes life, when somebody stops life, Father. And Lord, so we're praying the answer, Father, that you would send laborers, you would send people to anybody who's contemplating ending life, to grab hold of them. And the Bible says, and some you snatch out of the fire, and that we would snatch them out, Father, and pour life into them and encouragement into them. And Father, we know those laws are not right. And I thank you, Father, you are raising up men and women that will go and combat that and change it in our states and in our nation, in Jesus' name, in the world, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, we ask you just to keep impressing on our heart how valuable life is and what is our responsibility. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to move that note here. I wanted to do that. That was really big on my life. How many of you, moving to another gear, how many of you remember playing the game chicken? As a kid, I thought it was cool. Then I became a parent. I'm going, where are your marbles? Okay? So I want to tell you a story about my brother and his friend. And, you know, at age 8, 9, or 10, and I don't remember exactly when this happened, boys' marbles in their head are not in the right place, okay? And the story goes like this. My brother and his good friend, I think it was my brother Johnny and his friend Gary were playing the game chicken, and Gary was on his Stingray bike with the banana seat. Some of you don't even know what that is. You are not cool. You don't know what that is? You missed it. Child of the 60s. Hallelujah. Okay, so Gary's on, and it's a small bike. It's not a big bike. It's like this high. 24 inches? Is that 24? Whatever. Go with the story, Pastor D. Go with the story. So Gary's on his bike, and the whole idea is they go down the street by the curb, and my brother Johnny stands right next to the curb, and the curb's about yay high, what, about 8 inches. And he is, at the last minute, is supposed to jump up or step up, and Gary just goes zooming by. So they were doing this for a while, and they'd be yelling, chicken, chicken. And then my brother gets this idea, hey, I'm not going to be the chicken. You can be the chicken. I'm tired of being the chicken. You're going down, buddy. The problem is that Gary's on the bike, and Johnny's in the curb. And he's like, okay, when he comes, so here comes Gary, barreling down, and Johnny's yelling, I'm not the chicken, you're the chicken. And next thing, pow, the chicken went down. Johnny got run over. It wasn't really bad, you know, and my mom didn't visit the ER that day. But, you know, sometimes you need to step up and step out, right? Right? Step up and step out. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This is my story just to get you all into it, all righty? Step up and step out. Because listen, guys, I really believe that God is asking us to step up and step out. Actually, step out and step into some things, okay? How many of you know God is a good God? Yay, God is a good God all the time. How many of you know he's faithful? How many of you know he's almighty? How many of you know he's all loving, okay? Those are all true things, but he requires us, everybody say us, he requires us to take some steps of obedience. You know, okay, got another story. So a long, long time ago, downstairs, I was teaching Sunday night with Marty. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. And we had this little boy, Jason, not giving any last names, and he is just misbehaving. And I said, Jason, you need to obey. And he puts these, he's probably like 5 years old. I don't even know what that word means. I'm sitting there thinking, my friend Marty, I said, girl, we got a long night ahead of us, okay? But listen, God is requiring us to step out and do some things that he's putting on our heart, and it's going to take steps of obedience. Everybody say obedience. It's a kid's favorite word, you know. You need to obey, all righty? And the great thing is we see examples of this all through the Bible, okay? Read your Bible, okay? So I'm going to give you a lot of, you should write this down, moments. So we hand this out at the door. Okay, and I really think you're smarter than a fifth grader if you write on this. Some of you have it know how to do it on your phone, but here's my first little golden nugget. Ready? Write this down. You're never going to know how to walk on water. You are never going to know how to walk on water until you step out of the boat. You're never going to know if you can walk on water until you step out of the boat, okay? How many remember when Jesus called, Jesus and Peter? Jesus is walking on water, and Peter's in the boat, and Jesus says, come. And what does Peter do? Steps out of the boat, all righty? Now, there are times that God's going to call you and say, come. God's going to call you to say, come. He's going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone. He's going to ask you to do things differently. He's going to ask you to do new things. He's going to ask you to do challenging things. OMG, sounds like 2020. 2020 was my whole year like that, all right? But I want to tell you, it doesn't stop with 2020. Okay, and I will tell you, God is calling all of y'all to step out. All right, so we're going to talk about that. And I want to encourage you, if you have God talking to you about doing something, go do it. Step out, all righty? because you will never know if you can walk on water until you step out of the boat. You'll just be sitting here thinking. So we need to step out of the boat. Turn over to Hebrews, would y'all? Let me give you a cool scripture. Of course, every scripture in the Bible is cool, but, you know, and everyone's my favorite. Hebrews 11:8. This is actually a New Testament scripture, but it's taken from the Old Testament, and it's a story tossed out at. Hebrews 11:8. It says, "It was by faith Abraham obeyed God's call to go to another place God promised to give him. He left his own country not knowing where he was going." So I love this. God calls Abraham. He says, "I want you to go and step out of your boat." Now, step out of your comfort zone. Abraham had lived in this place back then. His name was Abram. But he had lived there. He knew this place. He was really comfortable there. It was familiar with him. And here's a little twist on this. He's asking him to go someplace. And by the way, the place that Abraham was in, he was doing good. Life was good. He was quite wealthy. He was established, okay? And God says, "Hey, I want you to go." And that's all he says. "Abraham, I want you to go." Okay, and now it's really interesting. I can just imagine him packing up his bags and, you know, giving stuff away and just getting all his camels and donkeys and all that stuff, whatever, ready. And people are going, "Well, where are you going? Where are you going?" And he goes, "I don't know. God just told me to go." How about this? God hasn't told me the next step. How many of you know that he says, "I don't know what my next step is"? And you know, I have found out, and I will tell you just right now off the beginning, just get used to this. God doesn't always tell you your whole life. Most of you would have never gotten out of bed if he told you everything that was going to happen in your life. Most of the time what God's going to do is he only tells you what you need to know in the moment. Like, go, and that's the moment. All right? He only tells you so that you know, the little part, the moment, but he wants you to step out in obedience and in faith. So if you're taking notes, here's one of my other golden nuggets for the day. Write this down. Here we go. You're not going to, just smile at me because you're going to love this one. Everything you do in the kingdom of God, or everything that God calls you, or everything that God will speak to you, guess what? It requires faith. All right? It requires faith. Everything that God will tell you to step out, you know, get out of the boat, was going to require faith. All right? So turn over to Hebrews. Better yet, this is a real easy one. Y'all know. Hebrews 10:38. It says, "The just," or the righteous, that means those that have right standing with God, "the just shall live by," the whole plan. No, "the just shall live by faith. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." I was talking to a lady this past week, and she had a doozy of a week. And I said to her, "You know, sometimes when I have these doozies, things that are going on, storms, whatever you want to call it, it is so much easier to close my eyes." Like, I do. Some days I start preaching with my eyes closed here. Like, it's easier not to look, right? So we walk by faith and not by sight. Now I want to give you the next thing. Write this down. This is our main idea. This is what I want you to understand more clearly than you ever have, because I believe if you get an understanding of this, it will help you step out of the boat, and it'll be a little bit easier, all right? So here it goes. Ready? Write this down. Obedience is where our faith encounters his faithfulness. My obedience with my faith is where I'm going to encounter his faithfulness. So there's two words going, obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. All right. Now, I will tell you, the Lord has spoken me to do a dozen things in my lifetime, and it's pretty scary in the beginning. Anybody been going, "Oh, God," all right, and you know, it is, but what I found out is when I start taking that step of faith and I'm obedient, I always find out that I watch God be faithful. We were singing a song about that today, Geez, Pastor Siri gave a word on that. I was like, that was wonderful. Okay, so turn over to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Now, real interesting about this is this same scripture that we're going to read is also found in Matthew in the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And the Sermon on the Mount, or they call it the Beatitudes, is one of Jesus' longest sermons ever recorded. Okay, he may have had other ones, but they weren't recorded. And it's so long in the book of Matthew, the same thing, the Beatitudes. It takes three chapters. So just get comfortable. I'm going to go today, you guys. It's not going to be three chapters. So Jesus is the same message you're going to find in Matthew. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and it's three chapters, okay? So what Jesus says in Matthew is he is dumping information, understanding on how you are to live in the kingdom of God, how you are to live God's way. He is just three chapters, just ching, ching, just dumping it all over you, all righty? And so we're going to start reading the small part from the Gospel of Luke because he's going to talk about the same thing. So Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I'm going to read out of the Message Bible. Anybody have the Message Bible? It's just a fun one. You know, sometimes I can read my Bible that I read out of all the time, and my go-to now, it used to be the Amplified, now it's the New Living, but every once in a while I'll grab that Message Bible or the Passion Bible, and it just says it like you talk it today. It just makes it just so alive and so fun. So I toss it out. Here we go. Message Bible, Luke 6:46. Why are you so polite with me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you? The King James would say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and never do what I say? But the Message Bible says, why are you so polite? And you're always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but you never do a thing I tell you. So the bottom line, he's saying, hey, listen, you guys, you can't really call me Lord, yes, sir, and be polite unless you do what I tell you to do. So where are you going to find what Jesus wants us to do? That's right. You're going to find it in here. Okay? Now, being honest, because we don't lie, there have been times in my life I haven't done everything Jesus had talked to me. There's been times I haven't done everything you have told me to do. Okay? Or you. All righty? But let's talk about the Lord. There have been times. Anybody ever not do everything that the Lord's just talking to you? So, you know, in conversations with people, none of you, I'm going to look at the ceiling, okay? There's conversations that I have with people, and they'll say, you know, God's really been putting on my heart to do blankety blank, and you fill in the blank, okay? God's really just impressing on me, or I feel like God is telling me to do this. And now I get good at this. I go, well, how long has he been talking to you about that? And they'll say 5 years. And I want to go, good thing I'm not your mama, all right? And I know, listen, I know there's timing. There is. There's timing, and there's other people that sometimes God is telling you to do blank, 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 and there's other people and things that have to happen. But aside from that, guys, you know, I think we need to start stepping out and moving to what God's putting on our heart in obedience because you know what? When you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, that means he calls the shots. And you don't like this word? All the brides give me a hard time on this one. We submit to his lordship. You know those wedding vows? Do you submit to your husband? How about let's submit to the lordship? Jesus, I let you be, I asked you, I received you, I didn't let you. I received you to be Lord. Okay, so that's part of it, all righty? Keep reading, verse 47. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, not homeowners' improvements to your standard living. They are foundation words, words that build life on, to build life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid a foundation of his house on the bedrock. When the rivers burst and the banks crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. it was built to last. But if you just use my words in the Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a dumb, I didn't write that, that was there already. You're like a dumb carpenter who built his house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen rivers came up, crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Wow. Wow. Okay. So let me, before I go any farther, besides inheriting a whole bunch of gray hair and some wrinkles, I've learned a few things. Whenever I read my Bible, whether it's a story that Jesus is telling, a parable, or I'm reading something he's saying, I start going, I find out I'm probably one of those that he's talking about, all right? And so what I'll do, I'll say, Lord, is this pertaining to my life? Do I need to walk this out? All right, so you should do that. You should look at that and ask, hey, are you talking about me? Do I need to do some things in my life? So I started doing that. Now, it's really funny, this story. You're either the wise carpenter or the dumb guy, right? You're either the wise man or the foolish man, right? It's an either or. It's an either or. And it's not based on the distinction between the two of them. It's not based on how smart the one guy is and how wonderful his IQ. It has nothing to do with that, right? It has everything to do with putting the word in and stepping out, being obedient and doing it. That's all it is. Just that. All righty. Now, let's talk about the one guy, the wise guy. Let's talk about the wise man, the builder, okay? He goes, hey, Lord, I'm a wise person, I'm a wise builder, I'm a wise Christian, I'm a wise follower of Jesus, and I read something or I hear something, like in a service like this, this is a wise person. Lord, I hear you talking in my heart. How can I apply this? Lord, what can I do with what I just heard? Lord, how do I take what I just heard, what I just read, and I put it in my life? That he calls as a wise person, right? Just that's what he says. Now, the other guy goes, man, Pastor D was pretty good today. My wife ought to get this. And that person, the foolish man, has no intentions of doing or stepping out in obedience and doing anything that he just heard. So they both heard, right? They both heard. Praise God. So we need to be able, how many of you want to be that wise person? Shoo. I want to be that wise person that goes, Lord, you know, I just heard this. I just read this. Okay, let me take a left turn. I was reading the other day in my Bible, and it was speaking about taking care of my temple. So I'm writing a whole list. You know, some people would call it your New Year's resolutions. But not only was I talking about taking care of my body, I was talking about my mind and spiritually. And I was making a list. And I was like, okay, Lord, I really feel like you're talking to me. I'm going to start doing this. And then I'm driving on the way to the gym. And I pull up at the stop sign, and I look at this red car, and there's this young woman. She's probably in her 30s, and she's smoking a cigarette. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm just going to pray for her, that she would take care of her temple. And the Lord spoke to me, says, well, you want to talk about the junk you ate last night? That'll happen if you say, Lord, how do I apply this in my life? In the most darndest times, okay? So I ate everything and we're done with that part. But anyway, I don't know where I am on my notes. Here we go. Oh, okay. So we're talking about the wise man, and then he says storms are going to come. Stuff hits everybody's life. By the way, everybody, you are not excluded for storms, tests, trials, whatever word you want to call it just because you love Jesus. Storms are going to hit you if you love Jesus. Storms are going to hit you if you don't love Jesus. Storms come to everybody. Everybody say everybody. Everybody, okay? So when the storms come, if you've built your house, this is the analogy, on a foundation of God's word, of the kingdom of God, he says, you're going to get hit with a storm, and it may be violent, okay? But he says, you will get through it. You will be left standing. That's how you read this, right? It's really simple. And he goes, well, the foolish guy, well, not going to end well, right? So the foolish guy is the guy that hears the word of God or watches a podcast or tunes into YCF.com, okay? And he's hearing this, but he does nothing with it. And he's calling that a foolish person, all right? So if you're taking notes, I'm gonna stretch it here. Here we go. Write the word in action. One word. I-N-A-C-T-I-O-N. In action. Okay, I'm going to explain what this means. Inaction is actually an action. Pastor D, what? I read this, and I understand this. Inaction, so the definition for inaction means idleness, absence of action, passivity, inactive, stagnant. So somebody who is inactive, that's what they do. They're not doing nothing, basically, all right? All righty, so inaction is actually an action. Let me explain. The verse we just read, if you were to read above that, you know, Jesus has just told everybody to love your enemies, right? He's told them to do good to those who persecute you. He told you to forgive people. Those are all the things Jesus has just spoken, even though I didn't read it, you know, every verse. Jesus has just laid out all these things for us. Alrighty? So, in case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of hate going on. I mean, it's ugly. It's bad. So, what happens when how do you respond if somebody's hateful to you? Now, Jesus just said a few things. Do you go hate them back? Do you go knocking on their door? Do you go right all over social media, all righty? You get offended and you don't forgive them? All right. So the wise person is building their house on this life of Jesus, Jesus the rock. And he says, Lord, you just said this. Show me how to love them because they are being ugly, ugly, ugly. All right. Lord, show me how to forgive them because I can't. Do you know it's okay to say that? Lord, but then say, don't forget to say, Lord, show me. Okay, show me how to love. Show me how to forgive. Show me how to do that. And the foolish person, though, goes, did you see what they just did? Did you see what they talked to me? I am done with them. That is it. You're going to regret the day you were born, mama. Okay? That's the foolish person, okay? And yet, Scripture says, just jot this down, Romans 12:21, we are to overcome evil with, we are to overcome evil with good. How about this? We overcome hate with love. All righty, yep. Now, the foolish person says, I'm not doing that. I got rights. I can't believe that. I'm going after them, all right? I'm not going to, oh, better yet. I am writing you out of my life, ghosting them, okay? That's the foolish person because previously Jesus told us what to do. So this foolish guy, by his inactive, not doing, and choosing not to forgive, not to love, he has just got action going. His inaction of following what Jesus said, what he knows, he's got some action. Only problem is his house is going to come down. All right? So, guys, every time you hear, you read, you hear, God speaks to you, it's time to start being being the wise guy, the right kind of wise guy, and choose what Jesus says. Amen. So it's real interesting, the contrast between these two. You got the dumb guy, the foolish guy, you got the wise guy. And it's really interesting because that very first verse we read in Luke 6:46, it comes down to the person that says, Lord, Lord, or yes, sir, and the difference is one never does what Jesus says. Better yet, listens and never intends to do squat with it. You know, shh, oh, I heard it, shh, but I'm not going to do anything with it. And Jesus is calling that person, not me, okay? How many of you know what building codes are? Sometimes you think, dear Jesus. Okay, but let me read you the definition of building codes because they're really good. Building codes are a set of rules that specify the standard for construction such as building, all right? Building codes. So there's a standard of construction, so it'll end good. Such as in Florida, they got some building codes that will end well if you do it because of hurricanes. All right, there's building codes. So I know some of my builders and stuff like, oh my gosh, because by the way, if you don't follow the building code, that day that you ask the inspector to come in, he's going to go, you didn't follow the building codes. So the building codes are good. So they're a standard of building. So listen to this. The wise guy built his house on the building codes of the kingdom of God, the building codes of what Jesus said. That's it. So he did it Jesus' way. He did it when Jesus was leading him to do something or prompting or his commands. He does it the Jesus way. The foolish guy, he built a house, right? And maybe on the outside it looked really pretty good. Looks like your house. But he built it his way. The foolish guy built it his way. He didn't follow the building codes of the kingdom of God. And what happened? We used to sing the song, the rains came up and the flood came down. The rain came up and the flood and the house of Montana, smash. Okay, his life got smashed, righty? So here's the crazy thing. Just stretch with me. Go into La La Land with me. Both the wise guy and the foolish guy attended the same synagogue. Went to the same church, heard the same message. But one was a foolish and one was wise, all righty? Okay, and what determines the foolish from the wise is those that hear and those that step out and actually do it. So it's really simple. Turn over to James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1, 22, while you're getting there. James, who wrote this, is the stepbrother of Jesus. Little Bible trivia the next time you play. The game, all right? James is the stepbrother of Jesus, and he says just about the same thing Jesus does. Just because he hung out with him. All right, you're all over it, James? I'm not. Hold on a minute. James chapter 1, verse 22. I should know this one by heart, but I'm going to read it. James 1, 22. But don't listen to God's word. You must do, okay. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. Somebody who fools themselves is deceived. Now, I've been deceived by some people, like salespeople. Gosh. Okay? But he said, this is about if you don't do the word, you're deceived. Nobody made you deceived. You can't blame your mama, your grandma, or the salesperson. If you don't hear the word, do the word, he's calling you deceived. And by the way, that is not a pretty name tag to put on today, right? It's not. So he's saying, hey, you need to put into practice what you heard, all righty? So all of what I've been talking about, I really think God is just encouraging us to have a lifestyle, to build a lifestyle, to build a habit where every time you're in a service or you're listening to a podcast, you are going to say, Lord, show me what to do with that, all right? Now, personally, if I listen to a message for 30, 40, 50 minutes, it is impossible for me to practice everything, okay? I have learned to take notes. I'm still not going to practice everything, but I will write down some notes as I'm hearing what's just God's talking to my heart. So I'll write them down, all righty? And then I say, Lord, you're impressing this on my heart. What do I do with this? How, Lord, show me how to do this. Every time, whether I'm reading a book, like I'm reading this, okay, you already know what I'm reading. Okay, moving on. Okay. So I really believe that God is saying, hey, I want you to develop a lifestyle, a habit of obeying the Lord when he says step out or do something. Amen. Okay, now, next point. How many of you know that when you received Jesus, he called you to be a co-worker? The Bible calls it a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. Anybody know that? Okay, it's found in 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are, once you receive Jesus, you are now been called to be a co-laborer, a co-worker, okay? Now, sometimes we think, God, you don't need me. You're God. God, you can just do everything. You're God. God, what do I have to do with it? And God's going, you're right. I'm God. But I have called you to be a co-worker, a co-laborer. How about this word? A partner with me in things I want to do on the earth. Years ago, somebody said something that just ticked me off. Just one thing. And he said, God's not going to do anything. He's finished. What? Because he's waiting for us. God, there's a God part and there's a our part. Okay, yes, I pray. Yes, I give him the word. But then it's my part, all right? So there's a God part and a my part. And it's called, you are been called to be co-laborers with Jesus Christ. Co-laborers, partners. By the way, back when God created an Adam and Eve and he made them in his image and likeness, that's when he said, hey, you know what he says? Go have dominion. Guess what that was? That was part of the partnership. Go have dominion over the earth, a partnership, a responsibility. We now have a responsibility to do the plans that God has planned out on the earth. Amen. I'm excited. And by the way, it hasn't changed because we made it through 2020. Well, No, what do we know? God hasn't changed. There's still a God part in our part. Our part is to be co-laborers and to work with him, be partnership with him on the plans he has. Praise God. So remember, what was our main verse? Our main verse was obedience. Remember that word? Obedience with our faith, we encounter his faithfulness. So I want to tell a story about that. Turn over to 2 Kings, Old Covenant. Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, sometimes we read our Bible and we're just sitting there. I'm sitting there in the morning, my cup of coffee, just chilling, reading my Bible. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. That was a good story. Lord, I like that one. But the person that this story is written about is a widow. And she didn't know the outcome. She hadn't been through it, okay? It was a little tough there, all right? So I'm going to tell you this. We're going to read this in a moment, but this is about a widow. And so obviously she lost her husband. It must have been a little devastating. And then she has two sons. The Bible doesn't say how old they are. Sometimes you want to say, come on, I need all the information. No, you don't. You're just going to just go with it. So there's a widow. She has two sons. Her husband's dead, and he owes money to the creditors, okay? And it must have been big because she didn't go run to her reserve and pay it off. It must have been a big debt, all right? So she owes money, and so now she's going to lose her home, the home where she had her babies, the home where her kids learned to ride their bikes, the home where her husband, okay, this is the home that they grew up in, and she's about ready to lose this, okay? And think about this. Her husband died, the man who she relied on. Maybe he was the provider. And now she's got no income. Now she doesn't know what to do. And guess what she does? She's only got one thing left. She turns to God. And you know that's a good thing to do, okay? And yes, we can do things in our own ability and stuff, but she was out of ability. She was out of money. She was out of somebody fix this. So she turns to God, all righty? And okay, we're going to start reading this. 2 Kings 4:1. One day, the wife of one of the seminary students came to Elisha to tell him of her husband's death. He was a man who had loved God, she said, but he owed some money when he died, and now the creditors were demanding it back. If she didn't pay, he said he would take her two sons as slaves. What shall I do? Elijah asked. What shall I do? Elijah asked. How much food do you have in your house? Nothing except a jar of olive oil, she replied. Then she borrowed many pots and pans from your, he tells her, go borrow pots and pans from your friends and neighbors. He instructed her, go to the houses with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour the olive oil from your jar into the pots and pans that you had collected, setting them aside as they are filled up. So she did. Her sons brought pots and pans, and they filled one after another after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to her sons. And they go, there aren't any more, they told her. And then the oil stopped flowing. When she told the prophet what had happened, he said, go sell the olive oil, pay your debt, and there will be enough money left for you and your sons to live on. I love that story. Now, in this story, God, who is represented through the prophet Elijah. The prophets back then were a representative of God. So God does everything for this woman. And you know what the everything was? He gave her her children. Right? He did everything. Now, back then, legally, the creditor could take your kids, could take you, take your kids, and put them in slavery. And that was a horrible custom, but they could legally do that, all righty? And so she's lost her husband. She's about ready to lose her kids, and she goes, God, God, that's a good time to go, God, God. So, and God starts speaking. And he says, hey, I'm going to do something for you, but you have a responsibility too. I'm going to do something for you, but you have some things you need to do. Okay? God part, our part. God's willing to do something always, but he's saying, you have a responsibility to do some things. And what did she have to do? She and her boys had to go running all around the neighborhood, knocking on doors. Do you have any pots? Do you have any empty jars? Go gather them. Go all through the neighborhood. Do you have any pots? Do you have any empty jars? Go gather them. All right, that was their responsibility. Now, you know you always have a nosy neighbor. Well, why? What are you going to do with it? Okay? And she says, I know this is going to sound crazy, but God told me to go gather empty jars and pots and pans and then go back to my house, shut the door, and start pouring with what I have. And he would fill everything up and I'd have leftovers. And they're thinking, crazy Mary, lost her mind, okay? Who cares what your neighbors think, all right? Praise God. So I love this story because God paid off her debt. Anybody want your debt paid off? Anybody got college loans, mortgage payments? Man, God paid off her debt. But, I guess this is a good time to say but God did, God is a God who does more than you can ask or imagine. More, and he gives her enough that she could live off of. And I'm thinking, does that mean I don't have to go to work tomorrow? No, we always go to work because it's good for us. Okay, but I'm thinking, and listen, Abraham called God El Shaddai, the God that was more enough. And he is the same God today as he was then, y'all, all right? And that's why I love this story. I love this story. And I know that God wants to do this in our life, but he requires us to have faith and obedience and step out in the things he said, just like she had to do. Can you imagine her going, I am not asking those neighbors. I am waiting for you, God, to do something. No, she had a responsibility, all right? So, if you're taking notes, write this one down. Ready? It seems very often God is wanting us to be a part of the process, a part of the miracle. It seems, wink, wink, right? Okay, now, so interesting. If her story was the only one in the Bible, I was like, I don't know if we have to do anything. I don't know if we have to step out. I don't know if I have to obedience. I don't know if I have to have faith. But it's not. That is not the only story in the Bible. There are story after story after story in the Bible where God requires us to have faith and obedience and trust him and step out. Okay. Think about Peter. Everybody loved Peter. You know, you think about Peter and you think, I am not so bad with my mouth some days. Peter, woo! Okay, so here's Peter. Well, and better yet, here's Jesus, and he's preaching to a crowd on the beach, okay? And they're starting to press in, and there's hundreds of them. And Peter goes, man, I need a pulpit to stand on so I can preach and these people won't get next to me, okay? And he goes, hey, Peter, can I use your boat? And Peter goes, yeah, Lord, go, Jesus, go ahead. So Peter and Jesus hop in the boat, and they paddle out a ways, and Jesus goes on preaching, and finally he's done. Not finally, that sounds so bad. I'm sorry, Lord. And then he's finished, and he says, Peter, I want to bless you. Go throw your nets out on this side so you can catch fish. Okay, and Peter is like, Jesus, I am a professional fisherman, and you are a carpenter. I think I know my business better than you. Don't you love Peter? And then he goes, Jesus, you know, I have fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus, the tide's out, and there's no fish out there, nothing. Jesus, what you just said makes no sense. Zip, zero, zero. Okay? And then Peter goes, but you know what? Sometimes you, Jesus, sometimes your words that you say, they just put faith in my heart. So I am going to step out, throw my net over, even though it makes no sense. So he does. All right? And what happens? He throws his net over, and it says they caught a massive amount of fish. Right now, it's all because he stepped out on what Jesus had spoken, stepped out in obedience. I mean, some of y'all would just be arguing till the sun came down. Now, there ain't no more fish in here. No. And listen, God loves to do the impossible in the Bible, and he does it now. So I want to tell you a story. I read this in the book. You can write it down because I gave the book away. I don't know who I gave it to. The book is called Miraculous Movements by Jerry Trousdale, Trousdale. And it was written about 8, 9, 10 years ago, something like that. And in this book, they have dozens of stories, and you read them, and you think you are reading the book of Acts. It's like, wow. Okay? And by the way, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? All righty? So whatever you saw in the Bible, he's still doing today. He's still doing it today. He wants to do it today. He does miraculous things all over the world, all right? So here's my story. It takes place in East Africa in a Muslim country. And by the way, God is doing great things in Muslim countries. People are getting saved, coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus, okay? You're just probably not going to hear it on, you know, what stations, okay? All right. Okay, so this man's name is Hanif, and he's a sheik. And in case you don't know the customs, if you're a sheik, that just simply means you have a high standing in your community. He's a sheik. Probably has money, too. Okay, so Hanif is a sheik. He's a very devout Muslim, okay? He studies the Quran. He prays 17 times a day. I thought I must be backslidden. I don't pray that much, okay? But here he is, okay? And he's also become very influential. This is a true story about this guy. By the way, when they write their names in the book, they change the names because you can get in trouble, so... So Hanif, he's very influential, so much so that they have groomed him to start more Muslim communities and to build mosques. So, all right, so that's what he's done. So here, even though he's very influential, even though he's a devout Muslim, even though he prays 17 times a day, he has something inside that is not at peace. We would say his soul is not satisfied, all right? And it's not satisfied because of his status with God. It's not satisfied because he's reading the Quran and he's looking what goes on in his Muslim communities and he sees these acts of violence and it's just not sitting right with him. And he sees and he reads his Quran and he prays all day and he sees there's no compassion for the poor and stuff. So he's got this, you know, I may be influential, I may be a devout Muslim, but So one night he goes to bed. It's a good thing. Goes to bed and he has a dream. He has a dream, and in this dream, there's a man, and he describes him as a very handsome man, and the handsome man says, Hanif. He calls him by name. He calls him by name in this dream. And Hanif says, well, who are you? You know my name. And I don't know how to try pronouncing it. And the man in the dream says, I am Isla Ala Malish. Anyway, I didn't pronounce it right. And it's what he says is he uses the term that you will read in the Quran where they say Jesus the Messiah. Yeah, do you know in the Quran it says that? They call Jesus the Messiah, but then they go left turn, okay? So right there, the man, which is Jesus, says, I'm the Messiah to him in his dream. It's really real, right? And then Jesus says, hey, you have many questions. If you obey me, I will answer the longings of your heart. What has he been longing, all right? So Hanif says, well, what should I do? And he says, Jesus shows him in the dream this top of a hill with this big tree, and it's a crossroads at a busy intersection. He shows him this place, and Hannah's like, I know where that is. I know where that is. And Jesus says, hey, listen. He then shows him a face of a man. And he says, I want you to go now and go to that man, and he will answer your questions that you have longed for. So he hops out of bed. He hops out of bed, and he goes to this place, and, you know, on the top of the hill with a big tree, sits underneath the tree, like crack of dawn, got his coffee with him, and he's sitting there, and he's sitting there, and he's sitting there, and hundreds of people are walking by, hundreds of people. And then he looks at one, he goes, oh, that's not him. And then another person, he goes, oh, no, that's not him. This goes on for 12 hours in the hot African sun. And he's getting a little discouraged, and just before dusk, three men walk by, and one of them is that face. And Hanif is so excited, he runs up to him, and now the person he runs up to is a guy by the name of Wafi. So I was going to call him, so funny, these names. And he's running up to him, and Wafi steps back because it's a little intimidating because Wafi is a Christian. He is a discipler of men and a planter of churches. And he knows, Hanif, if it could cost me my life, right? They go take you out back there if you're a Christian, alrighty? So Hanif runs up to Wafi, and Wafi says, who are you? And he says, I'm Hanif, and I had this dream, and you're my dream, and the Messiah said, you will tell me everything I'm longing for. Okay? And Wafi all of a sudden remembers several months ago, he was just praying, having a designated time when he was praying, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I will give you a sheikh. And he's like, oh my gosh, I remember that. So to make the story short, Hanif and his whole family received Jesus. And at the time the book was written, it says he had planted seven churches, discipled men and women to go out and start churches. Okay. So why do I tell you that? Well, first off, God is still doing incredible things. He's doing it. And you're not going to find it on the news unless you got some good news stations, okay? But, you know, I started thinking about that. And I'm thinking, because I think, and I'm going, you know, Lord, you appeared to this man in a dream. Why don't you just give him the whole story? Why don't you just close the deal? Why don't you just tell him, I am Jesus. Say this prayer after me. Ask me to come. And why didn't you do that? I was just kind of thinking that. But here's the thing, guys. Jesus has called us to be co-laborers for his work on the planet. And he needs men and women. He needs kids. Kids are the best persons, I'm telling you what. My kids would go to Grandpa, Papa Gagan, and they'd tell him things I'd never even tell, all right? But Jesus needs people, and he was looking. Jesus knew, I have this faithful witness, and he will step out of the boat, sounds crazy, and go tell this man, the sheik. Amen. Praise God. So how do I close this up? Oh, Jesus. Okay. Okay. Shoo. I'm going to give you the short Cashman version. Ready? Here we go. Some of you get so mad I talk so fast, but just write this down. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Jesus says, Jesus the King says, those of you will enter who are blessed by my Father. You will come into my kingdom that has been prepared for you ever since the foundation of the world. And then he goes and tells them why. Why? This is Jesus talking. He tells them why. And he says this: when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was homeless, you gave me a room. When I was shivering, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you stopped and visited. When I was in prison, you came. And the other bunch is like, Lord, when did we do that to you? And you know the rest of that. When you did it to the least. Okay? So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I believe there's something on that list that you all can be doing. There's something on that list. Whether you give a bottle of water to a homeless person as an act of kindness, okay? There's something we all can do to help the Lord in his plans, okay? You can give a meal to someone sick. Now, nowadays you can't go visit in the hospital, but you can call people. You can give clothes for the homeless. I mean, there is so much that we can do, all right? And you know, sometimes people go, yeah, but I don't know enough. Lord, I don't even know what the epistles are. God doesn't care what you know. He's looking for willing, availability, and obedience. So, bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we desire to be willing. We desire to be available, Lord. We want to say yes, Lord. And Lord, whatever you're asking, whatever you're speaking, whatever you're pulling on our heart, Father, every time we read our Bible, every time we're in a grow group, every time we hear a podcast, Lord, we say that we are going to be the wise builder, and we will ask you, how do I apply that in my life? What do I do with what you have just opened my eyes to? And Lord, I thank you that you give us strength. You give us your grace, your ability to do what I know I can't do. Lord, you just fill us with the Holy Spirit that just helps us do these things. And Lord, this day, we say we will step out of the boat in obedience with our faith, and we know that we will encounter your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I was going to say, I'm sorry I preached so long, but I'm not, so. But, hey, just one more moment. Everybody, just stay where you are. Just close your eyes for a minute. If you're here today and the Lord was just pulling on your heart, just pressing on your heart, can I just ask you this one question? Could it be that he wants you to surrender your life? Could it be that you have not let him come into your life? Could it be that's what's going on? And here's a promise that God made. You know, people make promises, but let me tell you what God made. He made a promise. He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, calls on the name of Jesus, he said, I will save them. And I will tell you something, God keeps his promises, all right? He will save you. So I'm not asking you, hey, if you want to join YCF, you can do that. But that's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Have you received him? Have you received where he said, I'll wash your sins away. I will make you brand new. And if that's you, and you would say, Pastor D, I haven't done that, but I know that I would like that. I'd like you to pray this with me. Everybody pray it out loud. And it's not hard. It's really simple. But you have to pray it from your heart. Pray it from your heart. And just simply say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sin debt and the sins of the world. And this day, I open the doors of my heart. I open the doors of my life. And I receive you now. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that, you are now a child of God. Forever. You have eternal life, and Jesus is your Lord. And all of heaven just goes, woo, party. A child has come home, and your life will be different. So I want to encourage you, if you prayed that for the very first time, come up. I want to give you a Bible to you. I want to give you some material. I just want to high-five you or give you an elbow, whatever you want. But this is an incredible day if you prayed that prayer. How about we all stand up? Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We are wise carpenters, and we abide by the building codes, and we are partners and co-laborers with you. Go forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.